Okay, guys, today I want to talk about basically enduring in the faith. I've got a nice idea, or not a nice idea, a clear vision from God of what He wanted me to share for tonight. I just want to say, sometimes when you share on some of these topics, it's not possible to include everything the Bible says on some or a certain topic. It's just not possible for a 30 or 40 minute sermon. And so what I want to do is I need to look at what God is saying at that moment to really take the ingredients that's coming up. And I believe there's something for us here tonight. And if you are here, then God chose you to hear this. And so I pray that you will receive it. I want to talk about maturing and enduring in your calling. All right? So on the one side, you don't want to worship and follow God until you die, but never really develop to full potential, all right? You want that. But on the other side, you don't want to develop all the way and then fall away. Okay, you want both. You want to develop, you want to grow, and you want to endure to the end. Amen? You know what's the amazing thing about God? He's a gracious, gracious God. And He gives us everything that empowers us to carry on. Especially if we turn our face to Him and we say, Lord, help. If you can pray one prayer, just wake up and say, help. Okay? Then you are positioned, because at least you know you can't help yourself. That's a good start. And when it comes to these things, it's so important. Maybe the main ingredient is just a broken humility. Just like, Lord, you need to sustain me. You need to be with me. You need to carry me. And tonight, I want to not so much talk on the maturing part, but on the enduring part. How do you carry on all the way? And so, let me just read the scripture. I'm reading through Luke at the moment in my personal quiet times, just studying through it and summarizing things that stand out for me. And this really jumped out of Luke and really spoke to me. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake. When he comes, truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service. Look at this picture. God will dress himself for service and have you seated, have them recline at a table, and then he will come and serve them. Wow. That is just out of this world. And so what I experienced as I read this, and I always pray, and I pray, Holy Spirit, just, I'm telling you, this heat waves are causing the roof, you know, to have a bit of a wobble. These heaters are working, I'm telling you. Where was I? As I was reading the scripture, the fear of God came upon me in a God-intended way. And I'm like, Lord, what is the condition of my lamp? Is it burning like that thing? Then I'm doing great. All right. Let's just hope it lasts. But Lord, I don't want to burn like that and then it shrinks down and then one day you find me here barely surviving, just hanging on my faith. This is what came to me. And this is what the scripture also intends. And Luke, if you've read the Gospel of Luke, it's got long chapters. So if the Holy Spirit like brings the whole chapter, you're going to have a long morning. Okay, so luckily as you read the Holy Spirit, He tells you what you should sit on, all right? And this was it for me. Now, we are all in different places, and the way our Christian life looks, essentially it's the same. Christ stays the Savior, right? God stays free in one, whether you are Hanu or Varana. But here's the thing, the way He uses you will be different than the way He used me. For me, my job is to preach and teach the word. Now, let me tell you something. I've been doing this for almost 6 years, and on this computer, I've got about 300 sermons that I've preached. I just save it as I go along. What I'm trying to say is, for me, in what God has called me to do, it can be very easy to go on autopilot. It can be very easy for me to not be intimate with God, my lamp shrinks down to this, and I fall back on one of the 300 sermons that's here. If I go to a next church, I've got 300 sermons lined up. That's 6 years. Even if you do what I do, it is so easy to allow your lamp to go down and to go on autopilot, just going through the motions. What are you doing? Are you a small group leader? Hey, are you a member? You're also a minister. You're in that small group for ministry. Don't take it lightly. It's not the small group leader who's doing ministry. It's everyone. Are you maybe in the band? Are you serving at church? What are you doing? Let me tell you what, it is very easy, even if you minister the whole day, to get into an autopilot mode. And the flame in your heart dies away. The question for tonight is, how do we endure all the way to the end? How do we keep that flame burning? That is very important for you and for me. So let me just start by giving a blanket statement for tonight, and then I'm going to give you only 3 points and you're going to remember it. Firstly, for your ministry to stay alive. Okay, when I say ministry, I mean everything God wants you to do in this world. Maybe missions, your small group every week, what you have to do at work. For that to be alive out there, your intimacy in here must stay alive. Okay? That is the only way your ministry, the expression of your faith out there, will stay alive. Is if in here, something happens. All right? Now, what I just want to say before I go on is, I know that for some of you, you're new around here, maybe a year or less, and you've started to see how God can use you. I know some people went on missions. They barely in church. They're on missions. They got baptized and there they go. And they see God using them. And you are on a very, very high of excitement. And that's from God. There's nothing like serving God. Amen. And for you, you maybe think there's no such thing as burnout. There's no such thing as getting tired of doing God's work. This is just amazing. Let me tell you what. It will stay amazing if you keep the fire burning on your inside with God, your intimacy with Him. But it's also true for those of you that's been around 3 years or longer, we've all witnessed it one time or another where we just realize this has become dead. I'm going through the motions. I've lost my big why. Why am I doing this? And so it's very important for us to protect that life center here, deep within our body, in our spirits, all right? To keep that alive. Now, 3 points for tonight. You're going to remember it because it spells, it's M-O-P, mop, okay? So now, just see a mop in your mind for a moment. You're never going to forget this, all right? I wanted a dirty mop here, but I thought it's just going to, you know, be gross, so I left it. Now, the first thing that's going to keep you endure to the end, the M is motive. Now, what you need to understand about the motive is that the motive in your ministry is an unseen part. No one sees the motive. They see the expression of your faith. They're not sure where it comes from, but they see what you do. I mean, they see you play the guitar, okay? That is visible. So if you use an analogy, it's a bit like a car, okay? Think about a car that never gets serviced, okay? No one knows it. You know it. They see your car driving and then one day, bam, it just breaks down. And people think, oh, I mean, the car's been moving. Next moment it breaks down. Now, the motive is a bit like that. You must come back and reassess, bring your motive before God constantly, if you can, daily. It is how you service the deep part of your spirit. I'm going to tell you now what the motive should look like. It's unseen, but this is the engine room from which you worship and live and express your faith. Now, let's just look at this scripture for a second. Then I'm going to show you the previous one. it's explaining a healthy person that you can sense the endurance, right, in the scripture. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all he does, he prosper. Can you see the endurance there? There's a consistency. This is health. This is where we want to be. Now I'm going to show you the previous verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. His delight is in God. In being with him and understanding him and reading his word and worshiping him. And because this person's delight is so centered in God, he is a tree that bears fruit without failing. Now the sequence here is very important. We talk about this a lot in this church. I'm here, and on Sundays, my ministry gets expressed in a physical form to an audience. And if you're a small group leader, that happens on Wednesdays. And if you're a member, maybe at work, the way you handle and talk to people brings ministry out. But before I can minister out there, I must be delighted in God in here. It's very important. That is where it all starts. My center, my deep spiritual center. If I can protect that part of my spirit, I can go. I'll be good to go for years and years and years. And so the thing you need to ask, if you think about the place where you're involved in church, if you're new around here, it's awesome to have you here. Just hang on and see our hearts and come closer and become a part. But here's my question for you. Why do you serve where you serve? Let's start here. Why do you serve God? Why do you sing to him? Why do you lift your hands? Why do you open his word? The answer should be something like this. You know what? There was a day when I did not know God, and then I met him, and it delights my spirit. I never want to be without him because I was a mess up, and then he came, and when he touched me, and I read his word, and I discovered all these amazing things, I realized in deep within me, I am delighted with him. You see, it starts in here, in the unseen parts, deep in your spirit. That is where ministry is started that can be sustained for years and years. If my motive, very important, and I think I could see the temptation in that, and I've experienced that at certain times. If my motive, or what is a motive, is the reason or motivation. If you guys were my motive for doing this, right? When you make me happy, I will do well. When you make me sad, I will suck. You see, the external part of our ministry out there, your workplace, your family, this church, it will always have ups and downs, but God will always be the same. He's our rock, our refuge. He's unchangeable. So sometimes people say, I can't believe my world is falling apart. Yeah, that sounds about right. That's what this world does. It falls apart. And one day when Christ comes back, it will be folded up like a scroll, the mountains, okay? So we need to find an anchor deep in our spirits. It's God. It cannot be here. And so many people start in their faith, and we've seen in this church as well, start very well, start strong. Every small group, foundations, even missions, boom, gone. You see, the motivation or the motive was not secure in the spirit. It was externally placed in a vulnerable place. And so when a relationship failed, I'm not talking about a romantic relationship, but could be that as well. Someone in small group heard them, or something out there got shaken. They got shaken in their deep parts and they left. What motivates you? What is your motive? Are you with me tonight? Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not going to go into that. He's not saying you getting saved is this long process. He's talking about your walk with God. So he says, work out your salvation, all right? Keep your eyes. You're going to grow. Work it out as you go. Okay, endure in it. Check this out. For it is God who works in you both to will and work for Him, for His glory. Can you see the sequence? Before you can move, before you can go out and express fruit and faith out there, something must be settled in here. God work in me first. Then He works through me. Remember that. Remember that when it's going hard, when it's going tough with your quiet times or with serving at church and there's a lot of stuff happening. Remember why you do what you do. And if you are new around here and you found yourself on a place where you practically are serving, or just you just maybe ministering out there to a lot of people, shift your motive tonight. You are doing it for God, not for man. Amen? Does that make sense? Just one way to think about this, and I talk about this a lot, and I will always until I die. Just something to help you. Are you motivated in His presence? It's a question if we go to the next one. Are you motivated in His presence? Or are you working so that you may be in His presence? Can you see the difference? Number one is He touches you. You are full. And because you are running over with Him, before anyone else have to say something and say, well done, just you and Him, you run over in faithfulness and faith. The opposite is, if I serve God long enough, someone will recognize me and say, well done. So you are serving for a goal. The motive or the motivation is recognition or to be seen by others or to be liked, okay? That does not last, because the moment they like you, you stop your faithfulness. And if the people don't like you, you feel it's a waste of time. Why do we serve God? To serve Him. Motive. Motivation. This kind of heart will withstand the greatest trouble and the greatest storms that faith can ever face. This is an immovable faith, because it gets determined when there's no other human. It's you and it's God. Build your faith there. The first one to mature and endure in your calling is your motive. Search your heart and delight in God. Does that make sense? Vinet, if I say you, ik hoor wat jy sê. Okay, cool. If you are new around here, maybe you are very scared to be here tonight. You should be, because these people are freaky. I deal with them every day. As you start, maybe you start your journey with God. Remember this. Never start your journey with God. And in that process, take in consideration the people and their expectations. Start your motive from the beginning based on God. I want to please Him. I want to serve Him. I'm going to love Him. And then He's going to give you people in your life, and they are going to mess stuff up, because that's what people do. They mess stuff up. You're on the setup team. You pack all the chairs. I come in. I'm not happy, and I pack it all over again. Now you're mad at me. You have to deal with it. That's what we do. We make one another mad. But I'm not packing the chairs for you, and you're not packing it for me. We're packing it for God. Amen? And so we overcome different kind of obstacles. Build a faith that will last forever. I want my lamp to burn when He comes. Man, I want it to burn brightly. Number two, this is so easy, it's obedience. Ons gaan mop doen, eh? So want to support this. Who of you clean with a mop every now and then? Come on, be honest. I know good you do. So now every time you work with a mop, okay, you just preach a sermon to yourself. Okay, so you are blessed, those of you that clean with a mop. Obedience. Check this out. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Now, this is very easy. This is not rocket science. You are placed in this town for a reason. Let me tell you what. You are not passing through to a more glorious place. You are here right now to do amazing work, right? You've got amazing friends to help you. But here's the thing. There's things that God wants to accomplish through you. And it can only happen with obedience. And God wants you to bear fruit. Now, we started very deep within your spirit. But let me tell you what. It needs to come out now. It needs to be seen. It needs to be experienced. The fruit of the Spirit, it's also called stuff like, because they talk about fruit here, it's like kindness and patience. These things are seen and experienced by you. Now, the thing about obedience, if we liken it to fruit, right, is that fruit comes seasonally. So let's say you are a vine and you are in Christ, like you'll find the scripture. You can assume that certain of your fruit is going to be used in a certain season. It's now summer, all your grapes, it's coming out and it's pretty and God is just blessing people with it. Guess what? Next summer you need to bear fruit again. Obedience, it's not to stop smoking and all these bad stuff. Do that as well, but let me tell you what, it is a continuance in faith. As a believer, you must ask yourself every now and then, what is God asking me to do now? You need to seek His voice so that you can be obedient in every season. Because obedience brings forth fruit. And so the moment I've exited, all right, like a bunch of sin, I've stopped watching things on the computer I should not watch, and now I don't drink anymore, whatever. And if I think I'm done, now I'm going to chill, then I'm going to miss. My lamp's going to go down. Now He's going to start talking to you very specifically. I want you to bless that person. I want you to take some of your salary check and make sure that person is okay. I want you to take that person for coffee and ask them how's it going. I want you to go to your dad and tell him how much he's meant to you. I want you to go to that person and ask forgiveness for what you did 10 years ago or whatever. And these leads of obedience start coming your way. When it comes, fuel it with faith. Every time you are obedient, your faith grows. When your faith grows, you tend to be more obedient. When you're obedient, your faith grows. And this sets off a snowball. But when this thing gets extinguished, when there's none of this, it's very difficult to get started. So, where do you start? Some of you that came from Stellenbosch will remember this. C.S. used to say, I guess he still says it. He says, God can only take you as far as your last step of obedience. So go back. Because what happens if we don't obey when he speaks gently always, he speaks to us, and we resist, we get a bit hard of hearing. Our hearts get hard. And he speaks again and we hear him a bit. And then when we resist again, we get more hard of hearing. And at one stage, we don't even have a cooking clue anymore. We just come into church, we go back home, we come to small group. It becomes kind of a work for us because we've missed that place of life where he speaks and we obey. Fight for your place of obedience. Open your ears and start very small. Say, okay, God, I'm having quiet time this morning. I want to just mean something for someone today. Give me an instruction now, and I promise you he's going to talk with you. He'll help you get going by telling you to do something very specific. Just make coffee for that person and tell them you mean a lot to me. To just get going, all right? Fight for your place of obedience. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So get among people who is as serious about this as you are, or as you want to be, and say, let's help one another. Let's stir one another on. You know, I've seen it many times also in pastors, and I need to watch out for it. Pastors often comes to a place. I'm using a pastor as an example because the same is true for you. Pastors sometimes come to a place where no one can tell them anymore. They become hard of hearing to the instruction and the help of others. Because for months or maybe years, they feel kind of alone and they're almost telling the people what to do. Don't get to that place. And the way you stay away from that place is check your offense meter. What's offense? Okay? What's Afrikaans? Asseblief. Aanstoot. Om aanstoot te neem. If this kind of thought goes through, I can do the American woman quite well, but I won't do it right now. Okay. I'll leave it for the kids aunt. But if you think something like, who is that person to tell me? Watch out. Because you are exiting that place where you are teachable. If someone comes to you, even if they bring it across in the wrong way, take God's word through the broken vessel. And they come with something and they're actually, this person is clueless, but they're actually on the money. And you think, that person will not tell me what to do. Be very aware. Because you are exiting that place where your heart is teachable. Okay? So do the opposite and run in there. And tell people, get to certain people, say, listen, I need you to ask me at least once a week, straight up, this, this, or this. Are you watching porn, yes or no? Let's be honest. You need to know what your temptation is, and you need to give someone the authority or the right to ask you, and then you answer them with all the honesty in you. And so you stay teachable. Amen? What you can do is you can read your Bible, and you can say, Holy Spirit, tell me if there's something I'm as obedient, and if He speaks, then you tell that person, God told me that I must be obedient in this area, and so I'm telling you because I want you to stir me up unto obedience. And I see it over and over, guys. Young believers are very good with this. You bless me so much. I see you guys growing and asking questions. I love it when you come with questions. You can always ask and approach me. Don't worry. The question is when you stop. When you stop being a sponge. You stop being excited to move. I haven't seen it in our church. We're quite good with it. Carla, I'm just going to single you out. Carla's not a student anymore. She's still on missions. That's what it's about. So I see young believers in Stellenbosch go on missions, and then we get too cool for missions because we work now. What changed? What changed? See, I've walked out of a place where I'm busy slowly starting losing my passion. The things of God. My flame is in jeopardy. Because it's great that I work, but it's not about only sitting on meetings and getting the paycheck. It is also important because God is looking at your faithfulness in that area as well, but protect your flame. So make those values that's going to keep you going. Some of the reasons people just fall away is they start to work and they start to do their own thing. The other thing is often marriage. Your ladies are in fire because God's going to provide a husband. And the moment someone like Hanu walks into your life, you know, God has provided. Amen. Now, this is not going to happen to you guys. But then God has provided. And when they're married, it's done with missions. The excitement for God has gone and I see flames dwindling away. Protect what is the most precious part in your life. Be childlike in faith. Protect this with everything you have. Don't become mediocre. Amen? Second one is obedience. But can you see how the motive needs to fuel the obedience? All right? Because if the obedience comes from a straining or a motivation, it will fall away. So that we also see. Yes, pastor, ek is opgesaik. Ons gaan dit doen. Moenie worry next week. Boom, gone. 3 weeks later, we're going to do it. It's going to be the best. It's going to all be all going to save drak. And then, okay. So we need to start with motive. To God, unto God. He works in me and then through me. Okay? And that's why I often slow you guys down. I love a new believers. Like I said, please approach me. But these guys will come with the greatest visions in the first week when they're saved. Okay, we must do this, and then we put the tent there, and I love it. But first, I want to make sure that what is important in here is secured. So that in 10 years' time, they still carry that vision. Amen? The last one is power. Oh, this ministers to me, guys. I'm telling you, I'm not preaching this to you. I'm sharing also out of my own life. If I'm experiencing it, no, it's just how authority works. If it comes through me, it's going to come to you. If I'm going to experience it, you're going to experience it. Amen? Am I operating in God's power or my own? Now, this is very important. Just read with me, Zechariah 4 verse 6. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. That's the name of Hanu's first son. Do you agree? Is there agreement? No, it's not. Not by might. That's the important part, not the name, okay? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This is very important. How do you know? I'll start with the last, but how do you know that you've started to minister from your own strength and not from God? This is just three pointers. I'm sure you can add some. One of them is frustration in your walk with God. And I often experience that. I'll be honest, this is a thing for me. When I experience frustration and God opened my eyes enough to step back from the situation and see this, then I know I'm in my own power. Because what is frustration? Frustration is being mad because you want to control something that you can't. And so what do you experience? Frustration. You're not frustrated when a chair is not placed at the right place. You pick it up and you put it there. But here's the thing. When you want to control someone and you can't, you get frustrated. Get mad, you get worked up about the situation, and you work it up, and then when you get into a conversation with that person, you just explode. Okay? You were working yourself up because you're wanting to act in your own strength. Another pointer is competition. Okay, now I'm not saying you somewhere in you are measuring yourself to other believers. That's a pointer for working out of your own power. And it's not like you want to, but it happens subconsciously. It's a temptation you see from the enemy. And so you start to measure yourself because you just want to be okay. But here's the thing. If you are working with God's power, if He's working through you and that person is working by God's power, who are we competing against? It's God in Him and God in me. And so the moment you rely on God to minister through you, you can relax. He's going to do it. Be faithful in your obedience, protect your motive, and as you obey, breathe. Sleep well. Another thing that happens is you worry when you operate in your own power. Okay? I experience that as well. Another thing that happens is you lose your joy. Competition does that. It steals joy. Check this next verse. But he said to me, my grace, we're almost done, guys. Please don't check out. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power, there's that word, is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, the context of this verse is not that you should not have strengths. The context is just even when you are broken and you feel you are spent, go to God and you can see what He will do. What if you bring your strengths to Him with this kind of brokenness? Because when it comes to God and me, my greatest strength is, boom, nothing. So, you have strengths. and I have different ones, and so we all differ. Now, your strength and your giftings, and we help you with these things almost every year, we talk through this, might get you on the right playing field. Some of you do not belong in the band. I'm sorry, it's just the truth, okay? You don't have a gift for that, all right? You're very good with a mop. Okay, I'm just joking, okay? But now when it comes to you, even if you have this amazing voice, this amazing gift, and you go on the stage, and you're going to lead worship in your own strength, go ask Warren, Carl, and Carla what that feels like. You want to feel alone on that stage. You see, even your strengths, you must break it before God. To humble yourself is a verb. You take what you have and you break it before God. You say, I cannot do it without you. I refuse to walk on there on my own strength or with some, just because I've practiced or know this. You must be in me and through me. So you make sure that you do whatever you do in God's power. Amen? And there's going to be times when you, I'm just staying on the stage for a moment, where you feel, even though there's a pada on your kill, yes, because he's sick, and you're going to be weak, even though you've got a gift, you can say, Lord, I am weak. And he's going to come through and work through you. He's going to pick you up. I'm scared, and I gave you the example, that I come to a place where I rely what's on this computer. And I preach from a fake strength. It's going to be empty. It's going to be nothing here for you guys. And so I need to take, even if I consider strength what I've gained over the years, and it's only, I know I'm still a young man, but I need to break what I have before God. I need to say, Lord, this is rubbish if you are not coming in and exposing it to the people. In whose power are you operating? So I want to say there's some of us that's sitting here and you've got a massive personal complex because you don't deem yourself as gifted as someone else. Please, please deal with that. Please talk to someone. That is not of God. That's a devil. And he's ministering to you and he's putting a yoke of slavery on your back that does not belong there. I'm not saying everyone can be in the worship team, but when you come to the place where you should be in this house and there's people to help you figure that out, and you give that to God, you're going to make a meaningful contribution in God's kingdom. And it's going to change lives. But only if it's in God's power. It's very interesting. I mean, you switch on the TV. Who've watched TBN before? Okay, it's like the comedy channel, all right? So you got a guy that can speak so well. And he starts off something like this. First words. Are you ready for your blessing? Can I hear amen? Say, I'm ready for my blessing. And this guy can talk and he's got the best and he's got a lot of people sitting there. And then someone comes and you go to Zim and you sit down with Ludwig and he speaks and you're like, God coming in here, in here, in here. Who knows what I'm talking about? Why? In whose power am I doing what I'm doing? We see it on the stage. We see bands moving around in towns and all the hair is done and gelled. And then you come to our church and the guys just look normal. But when they start to sing, like, God is here. In whose power are you doing what you're doing? This is what keeps ministry sustainable. Worship band, small group leader, small group attender, someone that's just, if you work somewhere in this town, if you live with a family, you've got a mission field, in whose power are you going out tonight? The last, if we can just go on to the last slide actually. It's motive, obedience, and power. You know, the last while, I've been very awakened to the fact that I need to keep my fire burning. And so, I'm training my spirit before I have quiet time, I've got very honest moments with God, and I start, and I need to stop myself. And for the first moment that when I start to pray, don't believe it, but I know it's true. Here's what the Holy Spirit has told me to pray. Before I read my Bible, I would say, God, this is not nice. This is life and death for me. This is not nice. This is air. This is food. This is water. Now, I know that's what it is, but sometimes I feel so sorted out. I don't believe what I pray, and I keep on praying. I say, God, this is food. If you don't open this to me, I go hungry today. And when I go hungry, my family realizes it later in the day because I'm irritated and I'm frustrated and I'm mad. And so I break myself before God. Holy Spirit, if you don't open it up, I'm going to sit here and read and maybe highlight. So give me my food. Maybe this morning I'm like a baby, so I'm just going to open my mouth. You just put the purity in. Just feed me. That's how I break myself, to make sure that my flame keeps going. What about you? What are you going to do? Do what you need to do. If it's life, if it's living, let someone phone you to wake up in the morning, spend time with God. Or have him WhatsApp you. Okay, I'm awake, I'm putting on the kettle, and you ex move forward, go, you can do it. Do what you have to do to keep your flame burning. Let's stand tonight.